You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today we are recapping the Bears' Week 13 loss to the New York Giants. We'll break down Chase Daniel's performance and sort of the downs and then ups as he got the team into overtime. We'll talk about some of the decisions Matt Nagy made in the game, both good and bad. And we'll try and figure out why this Bears defense wasn't able to hold down the New York Giants offense nearly as well as we might have thought. Let's start with that Bears defense, because it kind of seemed like that was the one piece of this puzzle that we thought we kind of knew, that, you know, that we could kind of figure out. And, you know, going into this game, we all kind of knew the Bears defense would hold it down, and it was just going to kind of be up to Chase Daniel to hopefully keep the team in the game enough to win and, you know, be that game manager. But defensively, you still give up. I mean, yes, the Giants put 30 on the board, and seven of those were pick six in the beginning of the game. So, you know, how much of that is defense? But 14 points in the third quarter was rough. You know, they struggled to consistently slow down Saquon Barkley out of the backfield for a decent performance, and even Eli Manning able to get some things going in the passing game. But, you know, it takes a 49-yard touchdown pass from Odell Beckham in that third quarter early on, you know, throwing some of the trick plays out of there. But then, you know, you get into that grinding long, what would have been 13-play, 60-yard drive in that third quarter, consistently running the ball with Barkley, Eli Manning picking up some first downs, particularly on third down, making some nice plays there. And there were a lot of those third down situations that this Bears defense got in that they just weren't able to make those plays that we had seen in previous weeks, where they always seem to come up exactly when and where they were needed. And, you know, some of that's luck, certainly, maybe, you know, catching up with them a little bit. They didn't have as much luck on their side. You know, I think there's some criticism to be deserved there for some questionable refereeing, I suppose. But, you know, it is a hard one for me to pin down, and I don't have a great answer as to why the Bears defense struggled just from watching this game live through the regular broadcast version. I mean, they didn't get as much pressure on Eli Manning as you would have thought, given the poor quality of the Giants' offensive line. I mean, it wasn't as though they struggled to get to the quarterback. I mean, they still brought down Manning for three sacks and still seemed to get a decent amount of pressure, but it wasn't necessarily the dominating pass rush performance up front. I mean, Khalil Mack was still getting some decent pressure. Leonard Floyd got another sack. Akeem Hicks, of course, gets to the quarterback, and Mack got one too. But overall, on a snap-to-snap basis, there wasn't a ton of pass rush, but that individually doesn't necessarily feel like the reason this defense gave up 30 points, or, again, maybe you count it as 23 if you take away the pick six. But regardless, it's uncharacteristically easy for the Giants' offense to move the ball sometimes. And, you know, they've given up big games in the ground before, too, to running back, so that's not necessarily it either. You think back to the Lions game, LeGarrette Blount had a pretty big rushing performance. So, you know, I don't know if maybe you consider it fluky because it took a pick six and an Odell Beckham trick play touchdown, and, you know, and then it still went into overtime, and, you know, then the Bears offense kind of comes into it. I mean, I think my kind of running theory is kind of a combination of those things and the offensive ineptitude having a big impact defensively that I think we saw early in the season, like in the Packers game and even somewhat in the Seahawks and Cardinals game, that when the offense is unable to sustain drives, you see the defense lose some of that energy and get tired on the field because they're not getting that break on the sideline. And so I wonder if, you know, the Chase Daniel-led offense struggling particularly early on. I mean, I know they got the touchdowns there in the first quarter, and And then after the interception, they got the second touchdown there in the second quarter to have a nice little lead there. And the momentum was kind of pushing this game in the right direction. But especially as you get into that third quarter, you know, the Giants score quick. The Bears come out and essentially go three and out. And the penalty on the punt, they punt twice. Then a long drive for the Giants again. And the defense starts to get a little bit gassed. You know, the Bears came out after that. And, you know, eventually they get the quarter to go out. But it just kind of seems like, when this offense is struggling, the defense struggles too. And it's not the same as just the offense not putting points on the board, but the offense struggling to move the ball. Because even when, you know, the Trubisky-led offenses made their mistakes at times, it was less about, you know, not scoring and more about at least they could sustain drives and at least move the ball in between the 20s, even if it wasn't resulting directly in points on the board. It still gave the Bears defense a time on the sideline to rest and you know, catch their breath a little bit. But it just seemed like against the Giants, the energy wasn't quite there in the second half. It was there in the first half. You know, you think Kyle Fuller's interception and a couple of those sacks and Akeem Hicks getting in on offense to score. I mean, the Bears seemed to be really clicking there towards the end of the first half. But then once that third and long with only like 20 seconds left in the half, which Saquon Barkley rushes for what would have been, let's see, he rushes for 22 yards on 3rd and 23. The Giants convert, and then that was right after a timeout by Matt Nagy. Giants convert, hit a 57-yard field goal to make it a 4-point game at halftime. Clearly a momentum shift. Clearly a momentum shift at that point. And I want to get more into some of the Matt Nagy play calls and situational decisions later on in the podcast, but I just think from an overall defensive standpoint, like, it's hard to point to one player to say, okay, he really played bad, and that was a big reason the Bears struggled. I mean, you saw, you know, a number of players each kind of missed a tackle, but no one was missing, you know, multiple, you know, 3-4 tackles in the game. And, you know, we saw a couple corner, you know, like Prince Amukamara gave up a big one, and Danny Trevathan was vulnerable in coverage a couple times, and Roquan maybe once or twice, but no one was individually getting picked on by Eli Manning and, you know, just getting torn apart by Odell Beckham. You know, the Giants didn't put up crazy offensive numbers. It was just some sort of lack of energy, lack of big plays. It's hard to pin down what exactly went wrong with the Bears defense. They just weren't hot. And if you need to get hot this winter, you need to check out our friends at Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing with heat on demand at the touch of a button. Their clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels that are similar to like a heated car seat. They've got everything from heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, even undergarments like base layer shirts and long johns, so you can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Best of all, our Locked On Bears listeners can save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon or just use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save that 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Up next, we get into some of Matt Nagy's decisions, both at halftime and the end of the half. And we'll talk about some of the penalties and certain referee situations that also seem to have some significant impact on the game. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Well, the Bears' winning streak is over, and we're trying to figure out what went wrong here on Locked On Bears. We started out with what was an uncharacteristic performance from the Bears' defense, and I want to move to the head coach now because he played a critical role in the outcome of this game with a couple of key situations that, you know, had momentum-changing and game-altering impacts at various points. We started talking about one of them, and I want to go back into it a little bit more now. At the end of the first half, Matt Nagy calls his second timeout of the half with 17 seconds in the game. The Bears had punted it to the Giants with a little under a minute and a half left in the half. And the Giants had gotten it out to their own 43-yard line. First play of that drive, Eli Manning sacked by Leonard Floyd for minus 7 yards. Second play of that drive, Eli Manning sacked by Akeem Hicks for minus 6 yards. And that play was snapped at 52 seconds, and he lets it wind down to 17 to call the timeout, you know, allowing the Giants to run the clock down to that point before calling that timeout. Then, of course, Saquon Barkley takes the run up the middle for 22 yards on 3rd and 23. Giants convert for the first down and hit the 57-yard field goal to go into halftime. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that timeout and that sequence of plays at the end of the first half was the reason the Bears lost, but I do think it was an important shift in momentum in the game. It's not the reason the Giants scored 2 touchdowns in the third quarter, but it was a critical game situation by a first-year head coach that was largely viewed as a mistake that allowed the Giants to eventually push forward for that 57-yard field goal to bring it within 4 and ultimately pull ahead. But I don't know if it's necessarily as simple as, well, bad mistake by a rookie head coach. I mean, let's look at the situation here. I mean, the Bears have a 4-point lead. They were just coming off of a pretty momentum-filled end of the first half with that Akeem Hicks touchdown. They were pretty juiced. They had a lot of energy. They had done a pretty good job of stopping the Giants immediately after that. Going into the 2-minute warning, you come out with your offense trying to do a little bit of a 2-minute drive, and you know, you hand it off to Jordan Howard and go nowhere, and then Chase Daniel is sacked, and then Tariq Cohen skirts off a run for 11 yards on 3rd and long, but you still end up punting. And you know, your defense comes back out and gets 2 sacks back-to-back. And maybe you feel like you're going to get another. You're going to have some decent field position if you keep kind of pushing them back and maybe make them punt on 4th and long. Where the decision certainly comes into question for me is with 17 seconds left, why are you waiting so long to call the timeout? If you're going to call the timeout in that situation to keep the clock stopped to give your team more time to take the ball back in the second half, to give your team more time to get the ball back at the end of that half, I don't know why you don't call the timeout immediately after Eli Manning is sacked. But regardless, you know, what I come back to is, well, you know, Matt Nagy calling that timeout isn't what allowed Saquon Barkley to rush for 22 yards on 3rd and 23. You know what I mean? That timeout is not a factor if they just tackle the running back on that run there, or, you know, stop Eli Manning on that 4th and 1 pass, or, you know, stop the Giants offense in the third quarter and, you know, cover that receiver. Would have been Sterling Shepard, I believe, on the pass from Odell Beckham on the wide receiver reverse. I mean, a lot of things proceeded to go wrong after Matt Nagy called that timeout. And yes, calling that timeout did allow the Giants to then go on to make those plays, and I'm not trying to say it was inconsequential, but it didn't have this, you know, it wasn't purely Matt Nagy's fault. And he comes back in the second half, of course, and seems to make up for it there, I would say, at the end of regulation. I mean, wouldn't you? Drives down somehow with Chase Daniel. And you know what's funny is you're in that fourth quarter, you're in that, let's see, would have been under 2 minutes left in the game. And the Bears got down to 4th and 3 from the Giants' 3, 4th and goal, and kicked the field goal with Parkey while they were down 10 to make it a 7-point game. And I didn't like that decision. I didn't think with Chase Daniel under center, I didn't know if the Bears would be able to drive down that close to the goal line again, even if they somehow got the ball back with, you know, only an onside kick afterward. They were having trouble moving the ball. So I was surprised he took the field goal there. I was even more surprised when they got the onside kick, and I was even more surprised when they drive all the way down to the 1-yard line with 3 seconds left. But then, of course, Matt Nagy pulls out his bag of tricks, runs the Philly special play. Tariq Cohen throws the game-tying touchdown pass to one Anthony Miller, who also had been pretty non-existent in the game. And give Matt Nagy credit for, you know, really gutsy trick play call with 1st and goal from the 1 with 3 seconds left. You get 1 shot at the end zone, and he's throwing with a running back to the rookie wide receiver in the end zone on the Philly special play. You know, the Bears had said afterward they'd been practicing that play all season, so it wasn't as though they were just winging it on that play. I mean, they had clearly prepared for that type of situation and executed it to perfection. But it certainly says something about Chase Daniel's performance that on first and goal from the one with time expiring, you let someone else throw the game-tying touchdown pass. And it's kind of a good thing that Tariq Cohen has a few passing experiences in his NFL career. It wasn't his first career touchdown throw. It wasn't his first career throw, period. And it worked. It was, like I said, gutsy. It was, you're not going to see a lot of head coaches go out and make that decision, trust his players to execute a play that they were prepared for, and ultimately drive them to overtime where, well, you know, defense wasn't quite able to get the job done but holds to a field goal. And then, of course, the offense and Chase Daniel kind of sputtered out much like they had started. The sputtering offense, of course, was one of the biggest reasons they couldn't win and couldn't cover the spread over at MyBookie. The Bears were favorites in this game, so, of course, any loss there is going to be a failure to cover the spread. But, hey, if you saw this Chase Daniel struggle coming and you liked what you saw from the Giants and missed out on winning big, then you got to check out MyBookie this week and make sure you don't miss any of the action against the Los Angeles Rams. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, then you can create a big parlay at MyBookie. You pick three teams to win, and if you hit all three, you could turn $100 into $600. And the betting at MyBookie goes beyond just football. There's college basketball, NBA, NHL, custom props, even esports and some politics you can bet on. I mean, MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll be all set. You can also make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter because they personally respond to every mention and DM, and they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out right now on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie and use that promo code LOCKEDON to get your 50% deposit bonus. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Still to come, we look at Chase Daniel's performance, one that started about as bad as it could have got, but did kind of seem to get better down the stretch there as he led this team back to the overtime loss. That's next on Locked On Bears. If you think back to our podcasts last week, we had talked about Chase Daniel's performance after the win over the Lions, and I thought the best way to describe that performance was about as good as you could expect from Daniel. Really taking care of the ball there and, you know, mixing in a couple downfield throws, but taking what the defense gave him on the way to a win. But he kind of, I don't know if came back down to earth is the right way to describe it, because he still finished with 285 yards and 66% completion, but of course, two interceptions and one touchdown here against the New York Giants, and it wasn't good enough for what the Bears needed from their quarterback in this game. And I'm not sure I can sit here and say with 100% certainty that Chase Daniel was the reason the Bears lost, but he would certainly be, I think, one of the most significant individual factors into the loss. But, you know, you can throw some defensive struggles in there as well. And, you know, even that end of the first half from Matt Nagy, I mean, a lot of things went into this loss, and, you know, some turnovers in there as well and some bad snaps, and pass protection wasn't phenomenal from this offensive line. So a lot of different things go into it. But with Daniel specifically, you know, the pick six to start, again, about as bad as it can possibly go. But give him credit for being able to bounce back. I mean, it was his first throw of the game. And, you know, it wasn't like he just completely whiffed on a wide open receiver or whatever. You know, it wasn't the worst pass we've seen a quarterback make this season. It wasn't, you know, there's no putting lipstick on a pick six by any means. But, you know, it wasn't just this abomination. It wasn't Nathan Peterman style, for example. And, you know, give him credit for kind of coming back out of that and, you know, throwing on the next drive. And even though it didn't get anywhere, and there were plenty of missed throws that followed. It was clearly not a difference-making performance from the quarterback position. We did see him get more comfortable as the game went on. He was able to get some deeper throws going. I think he completed at least three or four plays of 20-plus yards downfield, and that's maybe even a little more than I would have expected from Chase Daniel in a game like this. I mean, three of those went to Tariq Cohen. Those wheel routes were killing the Giants. They continue to be just a huge threat. I think two of them would have been to the right side, and then there was that one to the left where Daniel super underthrew it, but Tariq Cohen came back and got it, caught it, fell to the ground but wasn't touched, but the refs blew it dead, and it was limited to 46 yards. I mean, there were some downfield throws in this game, and don't forget the Allen Robinson catch over the helmet of B.W. Webb. So, you know, in that sense, there. I mean, when you kind of look back at it, Daniel played better than you might have thought based on what we had seen in the first, almost three full quarters. But, you know, at the same time, you still come away feeling like they needed better from the quarterback position. And they certainly will need Mitchell Trubisky to play better in the coming weeks. But I think this performance from Daniel was more about Tariq Cohen for me than the quarterback himself. I mean, it was a phenomenal catch by Allen Robinson down the sideline to help Daniel, and then there was some really big plays from Cohen. And I want to give Daniel credit for those wheel routes in particular, putting them in the right spot for Cohen to run under and grab. But there were a number of balls in this game that just weren't thrown where they needed to be. And Cohen was a guy in particular that was able to adjust to him and make those plays for his quarterback. I mean, finishes with 12 catches for 156 yards. I mean, that is, have a game, Mr. Tariq Cohen, with a touchdown pass at the end. I mean, he was the star of the game, I think, on either side of the ball. I mean, Kyle Fuller with his league-leading sixth interception, but this was a Tariq Cohen game through and through. But luckily, Bears fans shouldn't, in theory, have to see any more of Chase Daniel this season. It will be Mitchell Trubisky against the Los Angeles Rams, unless something crazy happens. But by all expectations, the young starting quarterback will be back for his biggest test of the season, and really this Bears team's biggest test of the season. It's hard for me to sit here after that loss to the Giants and have a lot of confidence that the Bears are going to pull off the upset against the Rams, but the one thing we know for sure is they will be motivated. You don't typically see this Bears team play without energy and without a high effort multiple weeks in a row. Matt Nagy gets these guys ready. They get well motivated, and I think the energy and the sort of the hope and the optimism that comes with the return of Mitchell Trubisky and the plays he's able to make with his legs and his arm, I think will be a big boost for this team going up against a Rams team that had a pretty slow first half against the Detroit Lions last week. Matt Patricia maybe getting somewhat of a blueprint to slow down Jared Goff a little bit, but the Lions just couldn't do it for four quarters. We'll be going a lot more in-depth on the upcoming matchup this week. We'll have crossover Wednesday with Mr. Brad Motter from Locked On Rams. You've heard him on this podcast before. He and I seem to connect pretty well on these things, and we'll have a fun show coming for you later this week. So I hope you'll keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. The best way to do that, of course, is to subscribe on whatever podcast app it is you use. You can also keep up and join the conversation on the Locked On Bears Facebook group. All you have to do is search Locked On Bears group on Facebook and request to join. I'll make sure you look like a real person and not a spam bot, and I'll add you in and you can join in the fun. And I know it's never really fun to get up Monday morning and go to work after you watch a Bears loss, but I hope Locked On Bears can still give you a good reason to bear down.